Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God as we share to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, and it tells us these words of wisdom. And pay close attention to every detail of this particular verse. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Reading that verse again, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Then looking over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful gift your word is to us. Thank you for the truth that your word really is a reward. And as we read and meditate on your word, it's one of the great ways in life we can reward ourselves, that we can bless ourselves, that we can cause grace and power and peace to pour into our minds, our hearts, and our lives. Lord, more and more with every passing day, open our eyes to the powerful and the wonderful gift your word is to us, and move upon the heart of every listener to become more and more of a faithful, both reader, a faithful hearer and doer of your word, one who reads and meditates on your word every day, one who feasts on your word every day, and not only does that for themselves, but believers who will encourage our children and our grandchildren, our friends, our associates, our brothers, our sisters, and others, will encourage them regularly to start the same habit of reading at least like 3 chapters in your word daily. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that as we encourage others to do them, we're sharing one of the greatest blessings in all of life, that is filling their hearts with the word. More and more, help us to be faithful students ourselves, and help us to be faithful every day to teach and encourage others to do the same, to get into your word every single day. What a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing it is to live that way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening and being a part of our listening family. Once again, we want to remind you, our fall share-a-thon is just a few weeks away, and we're still looking forward to hearing from some of you. If you'll call in and share, simply share a listener testimony of how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord has used Urban Family to help you to become a more faithful person in prayer, one who takes prayer more seriously and who God is using to do great things through prayer, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Or if you're reading the Word of God or reading it more than you were before, we'd appreciate hearing from you. The number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. If you call in and share a listener testimony, again, you just may hear it during Share-a-thon, but we would really appreciate hearing from you. Once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. Also, we'd like to remind you also that, again, if you haven't downloaded our Urban Family app, we'd really appreciate if you do that. I want you to keep this in mind that we do have a free mobile app that you can use both for your iPhone and for your Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk. And with this app, you can take Urban Family wherever you might go. Again, Whether you're here or traveling or any part of the world, you can listen to Urban Family. We'd appreciate if you'd make it your goal to get that app and put it to good use. Also want to remind you that the Hour of Intercession is now live online, and you can see what's going on in the studio and during the show and between breaks. And our channel link is Afrika.tv/Hour of INT. Again, that's Afrika.tv/Hour of INT. Let me spell it. AFREECA.HOUROFINT. Again, Afrika.tv/Hour of INT. Again, if you want to tune in online and watch live, we'd appreciate and would encourage you to do that as well. As always, we appreciate you listening. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, the Word of God, the Bible, is God's textbook for us for life. It's a guidebook for life. And as we, as believers, make it a high priority to be faithful students of God's word, it'll bless us all over the place. In fact, reading God's word every day helps you to fulfill the God-given purpose for which you were created. And so it's good to know that one of the great priorities for every believer is to be a faithful student of God's word. Again, I regularly like to encourage believers to make it your high priority to read at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. Now, it's interesting to me how often people will say, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, or it's too hard to read. Excuses, excuses, excuses. We do what we really want to do in the course of a day. One of your higher priorities needs to be reading God's word, because remember, keep in mind, when you make it a priority to read the word daily and you establish that habit of reading at least like 3 chapters a day, remember the verse I read to you in Genesis chapter 15. Now, this is a simple verse, but it's a very powerful verse as well. Again, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Listen again to these words of wisdom. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a dream, in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now remember, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are one. They're the three persons of the Trinity, but they're one. So when you're reading the word of God you're taking in the word of God, you're taking in more and more of the essence of God. And so when you're reading God's word, you're taking in more and more of God. Now, keep in mind, when you read the word of God also, you are rewarding yourself. That's what God is telling us in chapter 15, verse 1. God is a reward. Now, you know, if you realize that you can reward yourself any day you want by simply reading the Bible, that should motivate us to want to read more. And that's exactly true, because remember, God is the source of all blessing. He's the source of all grace. He's the source of all light. He's the source of all development. All those and so much more are who and what God is. So when you're reading the Word of God, you're taking in more and more of the essence of God. You're drawing closer to God. You're growing stronger in your walk with God. And remember this, reading the Word of God is also a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God and staying in close fellowship relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you today, as we look specifically at the topic for the day, to pay close attention. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of living a lifestyle of living the Word of God. Now, again, a lifestyle of living the Word of God. What that means is you're to be a faithful believer who reads the Word of God and does what it said. Again, a lifestyle of living the Word of God. Every day you read the Word, but remember, don't just read to say you've read. You read it with the goal of applying what you learn. There's great blessing in reading the Word of God, but there's great blessing in paying close attention to what God is saying. You know why? Because remember this, when you read the Bible, you read God's word, you're stepping into the eternal purposes of God. So when you read God's word and do what it says, you've done something with eternal consequences. Now you might think, I don't really see how that could be true. Well, you don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it, but it's true. Because when you read the word of God and apply it, you've stepped into God's eternal will. And so you've worked with God, you've cooperated with God to accomplish something very, very important. Take, for example, the scripture that we quote at the beginning of this broadcast daily. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you pray in line with the will of God, and then God hears and answers your prayer, You've done something eternal. Now, you might think, I don't see the eternal side of it. You don't have to. But you've done something eternal because you've heard and obeyed the word of God. And so God will bless that. And again, you've plugged into his eternal purpose. And you've helped to carry out your purpose as well. So keep in mind as we look at this topic, again, the topic, a lifestyle of living the word of God, we're talking about hearing with an intention of applying what we learn. A good Old Testament word, a word that we don't hear much these days, but it's the word hearken. The word hearken means hear with an intention to do. It means hear with an intention to do. And so we're told to hearken to the word of God. We're to listen to God's word with a commitment to doing, to living out, to walking out, to obeying whatever it is telling us to do. The wisest people in the world are people that read the word of God and put it into practice. Now, it's actually a foolish thing to only read it and never do what it says. In fact, the Bible refers to a person that does that as being one who deceives themselves. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, it has an interesting verse. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You need to hear it, that is, read the word of God, hear it with your mind and with your heart, and then apply it. Do what it says. Well, let's talk about that because it's important to know that, again, application is critical to everything in life. Reading is very important, very fruitful, but it's important to know God meant for you to learn truth in order to apply it. There's never an instance where God doesn't only want you to simply learn truth. He always wants you to learn it and apply it as best you're able to in your life. So hearing with an intention of doing is very, very important. I'm reminded of the story of two little boys, Reggie and Ra-Ra. One day, Reggie said to his friend Ra-Ra, I taught my dog how to whistle. And Ra-Ra said, that's wonderful. That's great. That's exciting. I've never known a dog could whistle. Then he said, but wait a minute. I've been around your dog all day long. I haven't heard him whistle. And Reggie said, I taught him how to whistle. I didn't say he learned it. Well, that's the problem. You have people that say they've read something, but they haven't chosen to apply it. To really learn something means you've heard it and you've learned how to put it to work in your life as well. But we need to be faithful hearers and doers of God's word. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for every person listening, and thank you for the opportunity that each of us has of being a faithful student of your word. Lord, move upon our hearts, open our eyes and our hearts to the great understanding of the need for us to be faithful students of your word who read and meditate on your word every day, but also who obey your word, who walk in its wisdom, who walk and live according to the counsel of your word, and thus receive the great benefits of applying your precious and powerful word to life. Help us to know as men and as women, as husbands, as wives, as dads, as moms, as work employers, as employees, in whatever walk or place in life we find ourselves, more and more help us to recognize that if we faithfully read and meditate in your word and faithfully seek to apply what we learn, that it will bless every part of our life tremendously. Help us to be mindful, Lord, of the fact that your word is a supernatural book with supernatural wisdom that blesses us in supernatural and wonderful ways as we really put it to work in our lives. Help us to never take your word for granted. Help us to never think of it as a book that preachers simply pull sermons out of or Sunday school teachers just teach out of. Help us to know, Lord, that it's a book of grace. It's a book of blessing. It's a book that's pregnant with the ability to bless us as we hear it and put it into practice. Thank you for your word. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
No!
The music of Marvin Sapp, the song Rivers Flow. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God. We're talking about the importance of establishing the habit of reading God's Word every day and living what you learn. Now, again, I encourage the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. But remember this, again, when you read the Bible, you're rewarding yourself. Now, you might say, well, how's that? Well, keep in mind, the Bible, the Word of God, is many things, but it's blessings that comes in many different forms and different shapes. But God's Word is pregnant with the ability to bless us on every hand. So that's why one of the most fruitful habits in all of life is reading God's Word every single day. Do you need encouragement? Read the Bible every day. Do you need wisdom? The Bible is a book full of wisdom. Do you need understanding? The Bible is a book full of understanding. Do you need to be better at what you do? God's Word gives you wisdom about every part of life in either direct statement or in principle. It covers every issue, every concern, every matter. So one of the most important projects in life for any believer to embark upon is the reading and studying of God's Word. In fact, I would say one of the most important projects for any human being, saved or not, is reading God's Word. Why? Because if you start reading the Bible, it will point you to Jesus and help you to get saved if you're not saved. But keep in mind, if you live a lifestyle of reading God's Word, it'll bless you in many, many ways. Well, let's talk about how that's true. Take, for example, Psalm 100. The words of Psalm 100, it's a short psalm, but it's a powerful psalm. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Now, amongst other things, this psalm reminds us of the importance of living a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. Now, there's great blessing in being a person that habitually gives thanks and praise to God. Not waiting to only do it on Sunday morning. Now, it's good to do it on Sunday morning, too, at church. But we should live a lifestyle of giving thanks and praise. In fact, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Living life as a thankful person will bless you tremendously. You might say, well, why? How is that true? Well, a genuinely grateful person becomes instantly rich. And that's just true. Again, how's that true? Well, the fact is, life is a gift from God. And when we genuinely take time to thank and praise God, number one, it stirs the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But also, we're acting in a genuine fashion that we should act in because, again, remember, all of life is a gift from God. When you thank and praise God, it stirs the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and you draw closer to God. But also it causes God's grace to pour into your life in greater measure. On the other hand, the opposite of being grateful is being ungrateful. And the fact is, when you're genuinely grateful, it blesses your heart. But remember, when people are ungrateful, it takes away from life. How does it do that? Well, a grateful person is a humble person who recognizes, I have more than I deserve. An ungrateful person often typically will have the attitude of, I deserve more than I have. Well, the reality is, what do we really deserve in life in the way of possessions? Absolutely nothing. We don't deserve anything. What we deserve, sadly, what we deserve because of our actions, we as human beings deserve hell. That's all. But the fact is, God in his goodness blesses us with life and health and strength and homes to live in and clothes to wear and food to eat. When you walk outside where you can see the beautiful color, the beautiful sky, the sunshine, the rain, the things around. When you take time to thank and praise God, you really do become an instantly rich person. So deciding that you will habitually give thanks and praise to God makes life richer and fuller and more enjoyable for everyone. On the other hand, being ungrateful, not taking time to thank God for what you do have, leads to people being bitter, being upset, feeling like the world owes them something. And that's a miserable life to live. So when we're commanded in the Word of God to give thanks, God's Word tells us again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's going to bless us tremendously. The happiest people in the world are people that are genuinely grateful, who regularly, as a lifestyle, give thanks and praise to God. So a key here is, don't just read the Bible when it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks in big things, little things, and in between things. Give thanks in all situations, under all circumstances. Why? Because God is always working for your good. So don't just read the Bible when it says to give thanks. Do what it says. Take time to thank Him. Well, let's take time now to thank Him. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the ability to get up, to walk, to talk, to see, to feel, to think. Thank you for homes to live in and clothes to wear. Thank you for loved ones with which to enjoy life together. Lord, thank you again for just the fact that you saved us and made us brand new. Lord, thank you for the shoes that we have on our feet and the clothes you've blessed us to wear. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to go outside and feel the air on us, on our bodies, and to be able to see the beauty of the green grass and the beauty of the trees out there, the beauty of the skies. Lord, so much that we can see, blessings that so many don't have. Thank you for your goodness and how that you run our cups over every day in so many ways. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, we're talking today about the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God. Make it your goal to not just read it, do what it says. Now, it's not hard to find people that consider themselves good Christians that don't take a whole lot of time to thank and praise God. And the reality is they miss out on so much, because there's great blessing that pours into your life, grace that pours into your life, when you really are a genuinely grateful person that thanks and praises God on an ongoing basis. So not only should we be hearers and doers of the word as it relates to this truth, we should form habits around thanksgiving and praise. When you wake up in the morning, take time to thank God that you were able to get up. Don't take it for granted that you're supposed to, because remember, God doesn't have to wake us up. Some may say, the dog barking woke me up, or the rooster woke me up, or the alarm clock woke me up. No. God woke you up. If you think your alarm clock woke you up, you try taking your alarm clock down to the local morgue and go play it in the room where they have the bodies. How many bodies going to get up? 100% of them are going to stay right there. Why? That's right. The producer said, if they do, she's running. So the fact is, again, giving thanks is so, so important. So thank God for the fact that you woke up this morning. Thank God for the fact that you have food to eat. Thank God for the big things and the little things. And again, life becomes instantly rich. It becomes instantly rich if you become a person that gives thanks and praise to God. Now, that's one truth that if you apply in life, it makes you instantly rich. Now, let's look at some more truths that make life so much richer and fuller when we really take the time to do what they're saying. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples. It says, go into all the world and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. That's to every single believer. Now, part of what that means is we're to be involved every day of both sharing our faith, helping others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, but also encourage them in spiritual things. Every single day of our life, we're supposed to be doing that. Now, some believers listening might think, well, you know, I don't ever witness. Well, that means you're far behind schedule then. You need to start. And a good place to start is say, Lord, forgive me, I've fallen short. Help me to start witnessing every single day. Now, if you do that, it will bless your socks off. Why is that true? Because remember this, God is looking for children that will obey him. Now, you might think, well, don't all God's children obey him? I wish that we all did, but we all have to do better. But on the other hand, God will use you and work in your life in wonderful ways that he doesn't get to use and work in the lives of lots of other people, lots of believers, because there are a lot of believers that kind of do their own thing from day to day. They're not that involved in helping others to come to know the Lord or growing up in their faith. So one of the ways that you apply or obey the Word of God in going out and making disciples is you pray every day, Lord, here I am. I'm available. Use me to help others to draw closer to you and grow stronger in you. That's a short prayer. But you know what? Every day you pray it, God will answer it. And you know why he'll answer it? He's looking for children that will pray that way, because he has a lot of children that simply ask for needs, and that's all. Now, it's okay to ask for needs. Nothing wrong with that at all. But God's word says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How do you seek first God's kingdom? You seek what's important to God first. What is important to God? God wants people saved. He wants people to grow up and to become faithful followers of Christ, like you and I are called to as well. So if you put God's business first, God will bless you and use you in ways he doesn't get to bless in other individuals who aren't doing the same thing. So I would encourage you, again, to apply, to obey that scripture. Give away gospel, you know, purchase or get a hold of some gospel tracts you can give out basically wherever you go. Ask God to guide you as to who to give them out to and share them in your neighborhood. Share them as you go. Give them to when you go through a drive-through window at McDonald's or Wendy's. Share them to the people working there when you're in the grocery line. Now, will people think you are weird? They sure will. And you know why they think you're weird? Because a lot of believers don't do this. But you know what? There will be a lot of people in heaven because you just obeyed God. And God will increase your joy in life because you're fulfilling your purpose in life. You know, it's tragic. There are many people that consider themselves good Christians. They're not involved in evangelism at all. They're just kind of getting by in life, just trying to make it, trying to go from one day to the next. Well, the tragedy is when you don't fulfill your purpose, when you're not a hearer and doer of God's word, life becomes empty. Life becomes boring. Life becomes, sometimes it seems kind of aimless. On the other hand, when we hear God's word and do it, life becomes exciting. It becomes richer. You become a blessing, a greater blessing to the world. We need to be hearers and doers of God's word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to hear and do your word. Thank you for the opportunity to give thanks in all situations as you call us to and thus receive the blessing of being grateful persons full of thanks and praise. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be involved in the work of building of your king, the building of your kingdom every day. Thank you for the chance to share and witness. Thank you for the chance to be a vessel through which you can reach and encourage others to come to know you and encourage others to begin to grow up in their faith. Thank you for the chance to encourage others to pray daily. Thank you for the chance to encourage others to read your word. Thank you for the chance to turn people on to the wonderful gift your word is to them. And Lord, more and more, thank you for the chance to be a vessel your Holy Spirit can use to bless people all over the place. Thank you for the chance to be a vessel you can use that way. And Lord, help us to live every day just to be simply available. Help us to not tell you no, but help us to learn to say, yes, Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Help us to be looking for opportunities to be used by your wonderful Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God, being a hearer and a doer of God's Word. We'll be right back.
It's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
There's more to leading a family than laying out boundaries and pointing out problems. Dr. Tony Evans talks about the more proactive approach fathers need to take as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A negative person only sees what's wrong and they never offer a way to make it right. We all need negatives that you shouldn't do this and you ought not do this. But if all your kids know is you can't do this and you can't do this and you can't go there, and you can, and you can, and you can, and you can. Or all your mate knows, you're wrong here, and you're wrong there, and you can't talk right, and you can't think right, and you're dumb, and you're this, and you're that. Then that is negativism, and that is a disaster. Men, when you come home, your wife's worked all day, she's come home, the children are there, she's now cooking, she's now doing dishes, and you come home, the king has arrived. And it is obvious she's frustrated. Simply reviewing the problem won't help. Neither will asking dumb questions like, is something wrong? Of course something is wrong. Offer a workable solution, like I'll dry. Or raise the question, how can I help? Condemnation without hope always crushes. And so it is very important that we offer solutions and not just restate the problem.
Learn more about how men control the spiritual and emotional thermostat in their home. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Of the Beulah Grove Mass Choir, the song I Need Thee. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Today we're looking at the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God. Again, a lifestyle of living God's Word, that is, being a faithful hearer and doer of God's Word. Remember, God's Word is the most important book in all of life and in all of the world. It's your cell phone to God. God will talk to you as much as you listen. If you want God to spend a lot of time with you, he'll spend every moment with you as you will spend with him in prayer and or in the reading of God's Word. Remember, when you're reading the Bible, God is talking to you one-on-one. When you're praying, God is talking to you one-on-one, and you're talking to God one-on-one. And so it's wonderful to know God will take all the time with you as you will take with him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, it has a very powerful story. And this story, it doesn't mention prayer, but it's a powerful story that has some powerful lessons about prayer. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And they said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Verses 1 through 11, John chapter 2. Now the Gospel of John chapter 2, powerful, powerful lessons. And some of the lessons relate to the topic of prayer. Let me explain that. Simply in this chapter, it points out that Jesus' mother attended a wedding. Doesn't say she was invited, but it doesn't state that she was invited. It specifically states that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, why would chapter 2 have the detail? It mentions Jesus' mom as attending the wedding, but it doesn't say that she was invited. But it specifically points out that Jesus and his disciples were invited. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus' mother was not welcome by any means. But the fact that Jesus and his disciples were invited is an important factor in the Word of God. They were invited, and at the wedding, a problem comes up. They have no wine. Now, it doesn't say Jesus' mom was the wedding planner. She obviously was not. But when she realizes there's a problem at the wedding, she quickly goes to Jesus. Now, the question would be, why does she go to Jesus with this problem that's not even her problem? Well, because remember this, Mary is the mother of Jesus. She raised Jesus. She knew what it was like to grow up, to raise a child that is also God and the Son of God. And she had the privilege of being the earthly mother of the Son of God. What did she know about Jesus? Jesus fixes problems. Jesus fixes problems. And so if you go to Jesus, he can show you or tell you or help to fix problems that you have in life. Well, Jesus does do something. He basically tells them to fill these water pots with water, and Jesus turns water into wine. And so he miraculously turns water into wine. And so not only do they have more than enough wine when it's all said and done, but they have the best wine these folks have ever tasted. Now, how was it the best wine? Jesus made it. Well, remember this. In life, like in this story, through prayer, we invite Jesus into the issues, the challenges, the matters that we run into in life. Are your prayer life is a means whereby you're basically saying, "God, I need help in this part of my life. Come help me." Now, it's so wise to invite Jesus into your life through prayer, because did you know this? Jesus can fix any problem, any trial, any situation. So we're wise to give our lives to God in prayer abundantly. So as we look at the topic of a lifestyle of living the Word of God, we're to be faithful doers of the Word when it comes to prayer as well. The Bible says, "Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open." Now, there are lots of challenges and problems and difficulties people run into in life, but they never pray about them. Now, if every single listener would be honest with themselves, they could probably come up with a list of over 100 problems they're facing that they've never prayed about. Now, the question would be, why not? Why don't we pray about more of the problems we face? Well, for many people, they might say, "Well, I just haven't seen enough results from my prayers." Well, let me say this again, set that aside. Learn to pray about big things, little things, and in-between things, because the fact is, remember, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And remember, we're wise to give matters and issues and challenges to God in prayer, because it's through prayer that we invite God to help us with the problems and challenges of life. So remember this, just like someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding and Jesus helped fix a major problem at the wedding, you be wise enough to invite Jesus to the events of your life, the challenges in your life, the difficulties in your life. What are the areas where you're running into difficulty in life? Pray about them more. Take it upon yourself to pray about these matters, because as you do, you can receive the help that only God can provide. As individual believers, for example, if you're needing guidance, maybe some of you might be persons that are considering going to school or going to college or going back to college or whatever, pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask him to guide you as to what school's best for you, because you know the Lord knows the best choice for you. Some of you are husbands, you need to pray for your wives. Wives, you need to pray for your husbands, because remember, even when you're running into a difficulty with a spouse, remember, the Holy Spirit can work on them in a good way, in ways that you and I can't ourselves, because the Holy Spirit knows what's in the heart, and he knows how to address heart problems as well. But also, parents, are you having challenges with your children? Well, again, remember this, you can pray for your children. You can ask God to give you wisdom to know how to help your children. In fact, we're told, we're directed in the Word of God that do you want wisdom, ask God. And in the book of James chapter 1, it reminds us of, if you want wisdom, simply ask God for wisdom. God can give you wisdom for every part of life, every situation in life, every challenge in life. Again, we need to be people who live lives given to prayer. I want to take time, and a number of times as of late we've used the Ten Commandments. I want to take time to pray through the Ten Commandments. Remember this, one of the reasons why it's so wise to pray the Ten Commandments every single day is because, remember, when you ask God to help you put him first, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do to help you do that. And there's great benefit and great blessing if you will put God first in your life. So we're wise to pray all the commandments. And remember, the Holy Spirit can help you do them when you may not fully know how you can help yourself to do them as well. Let's take time to pray them even now. We invite you to pray it with us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us, Lord, today to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us, Lord, to not kill. Help us, Lord, to not commit adultery. Help us, Lord, to not murder. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to not covet. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And remember this, again, as we just prayed the Ten Commandments, you take the Ten Commandments. If you read them and apply them, it will bless your life tremendously. Why is that? Well, take the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. If you put God first in your life, remember this, when God is in the right place in your life, everything else in your life can come together and be the greatest maximum blessing that can make it of your life, and you can become the maximum blessing to the world you're supposed to be as well. If God is first in your life, the other things in your life, it helps them to come into the right place at the right season in the right way. But when God is not number one in your life, then nothing else in your life will be quite like it should be, because if God is out of place, nothing else will be quite in place like it needs to be. So we're wise to seek to put God first before everything, because everything else can come into place if God is number one. We're not to take God's name in vain as well. God's name is not something you yell when you hit your thumb with a hammer or when you make a mistake. God's name is not a cuss word. God's name is to be used as we pray in the name of Jesus. And we're also to live in such a way that we honor the name of God through our lifestyle. So we're not to take God's name in vain. And you take some of the other commandments. When we honor our fathers and our mothers, we honor God. God takes it personally when you honor your parents. It's not a matter of, well, as some people may say, well, my parents don't deserve honor because they did this and that. Well, they helped get you here. Honor them, if for no other reason, but because God said to do it, and God will honor you for it as well. Also, if we decide that we're not going to commit adultery, then we will bless ourselves and bless the world around us. As we decide that we won't steal, that we will tell the truth, all of these will bless us and bless the world around us. So I would encourage you, pray the Ten Commandments every day, and you will help to make the world a better place. And also, teach and encourage others to pray the Ten Commandments every day, because did you know this? If the world perfectly kept kept the Ten Commandments, there would be no problems in the world. They solve all of them. And so, remember, the Ten Commandments is the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God. Our time is just about over. Again, thank you so much for listening. Hope that if you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not reading three chapters every day, today is a good day to start reading it each and every day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word and to live according to the wisdom of your word every single day. Move upon the heart of every listener to become more and more of a faithful hearer and doer of your word. Help us to fall in love afresh with your word, become persons that are faithful to not only read it and live it, but that we teach and encourage others to begin to read the word daily. Help us to challenge others on a regular basis to start reading three chapters a day and thus bless them, because they too can be blessed as they make it a goal to fill their lives with your word. We thank you for the wonderful gift it is. With every passing day, more and more help us to be the faithful, both hearers and doers that you want us to be, and help us to glorify you as we do just that. Lord, what a blessing it is to know you, to walk with you, to serve you each and every day. And Lord, what a blessing it is to also teach and train our children to start reading and meditating on your word each and every day. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again so much for listening in. Thanks for those that joined us in the Cherub. Thanks for those that are listening on Africa TV as well. We appreciate all those tuning in each and every day. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.